Open your Bibles to the very famous John 3:16. John 3:16. May I inquire as to your comfort tonight? Anybody too warm tonight? Anybody too cool? How many are just right? Ready to settle down for a good nap? All right. The very famous John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, now the next two statements are the ones I want you to notice, should not perish, but have everlasting life. What in the world does John 3:16 have to do with 1 Corinthians 10:31? I'll read 1 Corinthians 10:31 with you. If you'll open your Bibles, I'll explain it to you after a while. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, page 1221. You have the Scofield Bible. I'm continuing our lessons on the science of the Christian life. Tonight I'm teaching on what I think is a very important subject, the science of motives. Motives. God is not only interested in what you do, but God is interested in why you do it. The growth in grace that we're supposed to have, listen carefully to this statement, We're supposed to have our growth in grace. Shouldn't be growth in what we do, but growth in why we do it. Every Christian ought to obey the commands of God. We shouldn't start obeying this and then this and then this, but we should obey all the commands of God, but our growth should be in why we do it, the sanctification of our motives. All right, now in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now look at me. We started off in John 3:16. God saying, you believe in me and I'll keep you out of hell and take you to heaven. Let's live forever. That's the first motive that we had. The motive of a selfish one. God appealed to us through a selfish motive. He said, you come to me, and I'll see to it you don't burn in hell forever. And he said, by the way, I'll see to it you go to heaven, have everlasting life, and live in heaven forever. Now, between that primary first grade babe in Christ motive, we go all the way to the master's degree or the PhD. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You didn't get saved for the glory of God. You got saved for the glory of yourself. But between that time when total selfishness brought you to Christ, you should come to a place as near as possible of total unselfishness. I call it the sanctification of your motives. I want to teach you tonight a little graduate course, if you please. You'll have to listen carefully on the science of motives. Our Heavenly Father, I love this study. I love this truth. It's so easy to understand and yet so deep in its consequences and so far-reaching. I pray tonight you'd help me as I teach to teach properly, and our dear people as they hear to be edified so we can purify why we do what we do. Bless our study tonight. Amen. I'm going to use my little portable microphone tonight. I want you to notice we won't turn to it again, but in John 3:16, I want to come over here and let this be your and my conversion. And I use the word conversion wrongly, really our salvation time of the acceptance of Christ. Now come along here, and I'm unsaved, and I hear the gospel. Now nobody walks up to me and says, sir, you need to be saved. And I say, okay, why should I be saved? Well, God is not getting the glory out of your life. And God needs glory, and God made you for his glory, and God is not getting you the glory. Would you like to know that right now God would get glory out of your life? Anybody here go soul winning like that? No, and you wouldn't get anybody saved if you did. You go soul winning and you say, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Now that's purely selfish. I mean, no, I don't know. And somebody says, would you like to know that if you died, you'd go to heaven? And I say, sure, I'd like to know if I died, I'd go to heaven. And so let me tell you how you can know that you'd go to heaven if you died today. Now, that's what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That is the incentive of not going to hell. Now, folks, that is purely selfish. When you walk up and witness to somebody, you're appealing to their selfish instincts. Do you want to go to hell? No, I don't want to go to hell. I can tell you how to keep from going to hell. Okay, tell me. Would you like to go to heaven? Look at me now. Would you like to go to heaven? Yes, I'd like to go to heaven. All right, if I showed you how you could know it, would you do it? Yes, I would. Now, that is as first grade as it can be. It is purely selfish. Now then, a person receives Christ as his Savior, and he begins to grow in grace. And he begins to grow in his motive. Now, this motive over here was totally selfish. When I got saved, I wasn't thinking about anybody but me. I wasn't thinking whether Jesus got glory out of my life or not. I didn't give a flip about anybody else. I got saved because I wanted to go to heaven when I died. And that is purely selfish. But out here, where I call Christian maturity, Paul said, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Now, that means that our goal should be, every motive we have should be to the glory of God. It says, if you eat, do that to the glory of God. That's hard to do. I've tried that. It's hard to eat a McDonald's Big Mac for the glory of God. It really is. But what it says, whether you eat or drink, it's hard to drink a beer to the glory of God, too. But it says, whether you eat or drink, and it goes on to say, and for what or whatsoever you do, whatever you do. Now, whatever you do means anything you do. You're supposed to do it to the glory of God. Now, that is the ultimate. I'm going to make five statements. Listen to me, five statements, and then explain them. Number one, we are enticed to become Christians by selfish motives. Not only eternal life, not only heaven, not only escaping hell, but my peace give I unto thee. Not the peace that the world giveth, but my peace give I unto thee. Jesus comes to you and appeals to your selfish instincts. Him that say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So God comes and says, if you'll come to me, I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. I'll give you joy. I'll give you a home in heaven. I'll let you live there forever, and I'll save you from the fires of hell. And that is first grade, kindergarten, grade school, babes in Christ kind of stuff. But God used it. Now let me tell you something. That's why it's not wrong to tell a child you'll buy him a hot dog come Sunday school on Sunday. Nothing wrong with that. That's the way God gets you saved. He appeals to your selfish instincts. And these Pharisees, they're not against hot dogs. They're against going visiting bus kids. And they want to hide their laziness behind, hey, you're bribing somebody. In the first place, they don't know what the word bribe means. But God comes and says, I can't appeal. God says, I can't come over here and say, here, would you get saved for the glory of God? And you say, what are you talking about, Buster? Would you get saved so when you can eat for God's glory? No, nobody's going to do that. The old evangelist stood up and preached and said, you're going to go to hell. You get saved. You're going to go to hell. And they flocked down the aisles selfishly. You can go to heaven forever. Live forever. See your mother. You die off dead in heaven. See Jesus. No sickness, no death, no sorrow, no heartache. And they flock down the aisle. Why? Selfishly. All right, statement number one. We are enticed to become Christians by selfish motives. Statement number two. The ultimate in motives is 1 Corinthians 10:31. Now, this is where we started, and this is where we're going. We're going over here to whatsoever we do, whether we eat or drink or buy a new dress or buy a new suit or have some recreation, whatever we do it to the glory of God. Those are the ultimate mature motives. All right? Number three, we will never arrive. Isaiah 64:6 says, our righteousness is like filthy rags. Even when I do something unselfishly, there is a selfishness in it. If I give to somebody, there's almost always a little, I want to feel good, a little selfishness involved in unselfishness. So, though I started over here and started the Christian life purely selfish, and by the way, a babe in Christ, you have to appeal to him that way. Hey, you come to church and boy, you'll like our music. Hey, you come to church and you'll like our preacher. Well, that's better than the music, of course. But you come to church, our preacher's cute. Thank you very much, both of you. But you'll like our fellowship. Man, we got the best youth program and we got our schools. You'll like our schools. Man, you got to come to our church. You'll like it. You'll love it. What are you doing? You're appealing to their selfish primary, first grade, kindergarten motives. One, the Christian life starts over here. Second, our goal is to get over here to 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Don't leave me now. All right, number three, we'll never get there. Number four, but we should be on our way. We'll never totally purify our motives. But we should ever so slowly, but definitely, be marching from selfishness to unselfishness. Selfishness to unselfishness. What it means to me to what it means to others. And by the way, here's the path you take. What it means to me, what it means to me, what it means to me, what it means to others, what it means to others, what it means to others, what it means to God, what it means to God. Now that's the progression. You start off for me, then others, then for the glory of God. Now, the glory of God is where we're headed, but the journey has a stop over here of living for somebody else. But we will never get there, but we should still be on our way. Now, while we're on our way, we're supposed to go ahead and do God's commands anyway. Now, follow me carefully. They say, well, it's just as bad to think it as it is to do it. Some idiot made that up. You think it's as bad to think about killing somebody as to kill somebody? You think it's just as bad to think about robbing a bank as it is rob a bank? You think it's just as bad to commit adultery as it is to think about as it is to commit it? Now you listen to me. We are not supposed to wait to do the things for God we're supposed to do until we do it purely unselfishly. We're supposed to go ahead and serve God now, even though we're doing it selfishly. We're supposed to go ahead and do it anyway until we can transfer the motive. You're supposed to obey God no matter why you obey God. You're not supposed to say, well, I can't obey God. I won't obey God. That's that deeper life junk. That's that garbage they teach you in these so-called deeper life Bible institutes where they don't think care a thing about souls going to hell. I want to tell you something, folks. You're supposed to obey God. I don't care what your motive is. Well, I'm not going to tithe because God loves a cheerful giver and I can't tithe cheerfully. God does love a cheerful giver, but he sort of likes grouches that give too. And he doesn't, I do. Now, I'm saying, you're over here. Okay, let's take tithing. Malachi, look interested, college students. Well, interested, not look interested. Some of you have the most dumb-looking faces I've ever seen. If you're saved, I wish your heart would tell you a face about it. Now listen to me. Let's take tithing. How does God appeal to us for tithing? Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse that I may get glory to myself. Is that it? Anybody home? Is that it? All of your college students all of a sudden looks like. Now wait, is that it? No, that's not it. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, saith the Lord, and prove me now herewith if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now that's God's first appeal for tithing. Give, and it will glorify Jesus. Is that what it says? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, that's not the holiest reason to give, but that's the first reason to give. Now, out here somewhere, you ought to give for the glory of God. I want to get the gospel out. I want to glorify God. I want to get people saved so in heaven they can glorify God someday. Now, that is the ultimate in motives. Over here is the beginner in motives, the kindergarten in motives. God knows that he has to appeal to our selfish instincts to get us to start anything. But between the time we are here and the time we're over there, we're still supposed to do right. Now let's take a few illustrations. Let me give the five statements first. One, we are enticed to become Christians by selfish motives. Two, the ultimate in motives is the glory of God. Three, we will never arrive. Four, we should be on our way anyway. Five, while on our way, we're still supposed to obey the commands of God regardless of the motives. Illustration. They come to my office almost every week. You preacher boys. I want a pastor. I want the pastor. You get that? No preacher boy ever comes to my office and says, out there somewhere are some people that are not giving God glory and I need to go help them give God glory. No, that's what you say. Here's what you say. Boy, I love to preach. What is it? It's selfish. Is it sinful? No, it's not sinful. God appeals to you that way. I like to get right here on the edge so I get you worried about whether I'm going to fall or not. It's the only way I can hold your attention sometimes. So, no, it's not selfish. I want my own people. I want to preach. I love to preach. I can't wait till I can preach. I just want my own people. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you get 6 to 7 years old, I hope you can get over here a little where I hope I've come close over here anyway. To where, though I love to preach, my main desire is to help you. My main desire is to help you so you can glorify my Heavenly Father. Now what does that mean? Does that mean you fellows are supposed to not preach a sermon till you get over there? If you don't preach a sermon till you get over there, most of you never preach a sermon. Sure, go ahead and preach because you like it. Obey God. I mean, if your motives are selfish, you're still supposed to do what you're supposed to do. So get your street corner and preach. But when you're out there on the street corner, you're not saying, may I have your attention, folks? Your lives aren't glorifying God. You're not saying that. You're appealing to them the same way I'm appealing to you. If you want to have joy, you get out here and preach. Boy, it's something else to preach. And so you do it. But that's a selfish motive. Now, as you grow and grow and grow and grow and grow, then you'll get over someday to where you won't even think about it. Honestly, I rarely ever even think. I shouldn't say this. I rarely ever even think while I'm preaching. You probably noticed that, haven't you? But usually when I'm preaching, I don't know. Sunday night, I didn't know where I was while I was preaching. I have those spells about once every 2 years. I didn't know where I was. I was wrapped up in that sermon. Said, were you having fun? Don't know if I was having fun or not. I was thinking about trying to help you or skin you. I help you. And I was trying to help you. I didn't know. But now, back then when I first started off, I'd be preaching and I'd say, boy, I think I'm doing good. That's when I quit doing good, by the way. But I'm saying, I'm not supposed to wait till I get over here where I can glorify God to obey the call of God. God called me to preach, and I'm supposed to preach. So you preacher boys, if you're preaching because you like it, go ahead and let her rip. If you're preaching because it's fun, let her rip. You're supposed to do what God tells you to do. beginner motives or mature motives. But as you grow in grace, listen, a person ought to tithe the first Sunday after he kneels and gets saved here. Now, it isn't that you grow in giving. You start tithing right away and you grow in why you give. And the motives become holy and the motives become sanctified. Let's take marriage. I got marriage plus this and I'll have your attention. Let's take marriage. Now, you spiritual giants at Howells Anderson College, you preacher boys, you theologians of today, Apostle Paul's of tomorrow, when you walked up to that girl, here's what you said, and you asked her for a date. You looked at her and you said, I bet you she'd like to go with somebody as cute as I am. That's not what you said. You looked at her and started drooling right down here. Zowie. You didn't walk up and say, I think it would glorify the Father which is in heaven if you and I had a hamburger together. You didn't start that way. If you did, you wouldn't start at all. She'd say, man, when did you get out? I mean, that's not the way you started. I don't care how sanctimonious you are, you Billy Sundays of tomorrow, you Dwight Moody's of tomorrow, you Lee Robertson's of tomorrow, you started off just like I started off, sitting in the audience looking at her in the choir. And I didn't say, that blonde up there in the choir needs to glorify God more, and I believe she'd glorify God more if she had me. So I went up and I said, Beverly, you need to glorify God. And you could glorify God more if you and I had a date together. I didn't do that, and you didn't either. I started over here as a beginner. I didn't say, I think you need me. I didn't give a flip whether she needed me or not. I needed her. Totally selfish. Now, wait a minute. There's supposed to be a time over here in your life when your total desire is to please that woman. Or you, as young ladies, your total desire is to please that man. Now, that means over here, you obey him because he sends you. Wow. Sure, I'll obey you, you big hunk of man. My wife still says that to me. But sure, I'll obey you, you big hunk of man. Yeah. And she wants to obey you, and because you got a big bushy head of hair, and then it begins to fall out, and you got a trim figure, it begins to come out. But the day comes, when she does the same thing she did over here for a different reason. She loves you. She wants you to be happy. Now, wait a minute. From wanting her, from wanting me to be happy to wanting her to be happy is just like believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Who shall believe on him shall not perish, have everlasting life. Over here, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. But between over here, when you do it because you want him, over here to where you do it because you want him to have what he needs, you're still supposed to do what you're supposed to do. Now, in every area of our lives, we start off with selfish motives. You don't go down and look at a dress. Ladies, you ladies have got dresses for Easter. You didn't go down and look at that dress and say, that dress looks like it would help me glorify Jesus more. You weren't interested in glorifying Jesus. You was interested in beautifying you. In a few cases, it didn't work, but I mean, but wait, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, sanctimonious people would say, oh, that's unholy, unholy. Yes, and everybody's unholy at first. The very incentive to do right. God knows we're human, and God entices us through our selfishness. But as we grow and grow, we're headed over here to doing all to the glory of God. But between there and here, we're supposed to do the same thing. Listen carefully now. I'm not supposed to do any more over here than I am over here. We have folks right here. You gave double tithe last Sunday. We have folks that did it. You didn't want to do it. But you did it. You did it because you thought Brother Howell's to look at your envelope. You said, did you? I forgot. But no, I don't. But you did it because, okay, I'll do it. But some of you said, praise God for the bus ministry. I am delighted to do it. What an honor to do it for the glory of God. But I don't care where you are on this line here, you're supposed to do it. So you're not supposed to grow in what you do, you're supposed to grow in why you do it. You're supposed to tithe over here and keep tithing over here, but grow in why you tithe. Let's take soul winning. You met, those of you here Monday night in pastor school, met my first convert I ever won to Christ personally, Kenneth Florence. By the way, it's been about 48 years ago. He still goes to the very same church he went to 48 years ago. Wait a minute. When I won him to Christ, after he got saved, I said to myself, praise the Lord. Woo, this is fun. Woo, wow, this is fun. Glory to God. I had a part. He was going to hell. Now he's going to heaven. His name is written in heaven. He's going to live in heaven forever. And I had a part. I walked up to my pastor and I said, Brother Sizemore, would it be okay with you if I did this all the time from now on? In the next 7 days in Hillcrest Baptist Church, I brought 37 people down the aisle. You know why I did it? So I could glorify Jesus. No. I did it because it was fun. That's why God put Psalm 126, 5 and 6 in the Bible. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Bring his sheep with him. God said, you go soul winning, I'll make you happy. And that's okay. I want to be happy. I'll go soul winning. But out here now, after all these years, I go soul winning because I'm supposed to go soul winning because I want God to be happy. But I'm not supposed to wait to go soul winning till I get my motives purified. I'm supposed to go soul winning over here while they're not purified. And all the way between here and over there, I'm supposed to obey just as much. Now that means you folks tonight who go soul winning because it's fun, that's great. Someday you're going to go soul winning when it's not fun, and that's greater. But you're still supposed to go soul winning. There's so many areas. Let's take, for example, prayer. When I first began to learn to pray, I promise you that 90% of all my prayers were for me. I'm over here now. I haven't prayed a prayer for myself in years. I haven't asked God for one single thing for myself in years. Not one single thing. I've asked him for 100 single things, but never for one. I don't pray for myself. Now, but I'm still supposed to pray. Over here, I prayed to get something for myself. Over here, I prayed to get something for those that I love. But between the immature, childish purpose and the mature, adult purpose, all of us are commanded to pray. Let me say this. It's not sinful for you to pray for something for yourself. And it's not sinful to go soul winning so you'll enjoy it. It is God's way of enticing you to enroll in the school of the Christian life. Now someday you're going to graduate out there. And someday you're going to be up in high school, and someday in college, and someday in the master's program, and someday in the doctor's program. But God says, I can't put you in the doctor's program now. I'm going to invite you to go soul winning and tell you I'll make you happy if you go. I'll invite you to tithe and say, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Give and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Seek and you shall find. I'm giving you this simple little, I'm giving you this. I'll give you this. I'll give you this if you'll go. But I want you someday to be over here to where you live so I'll get the praise and glory. But in between, you're still supposed to obey every command. Now, let me tell you why the so-called deeper life crowd thinks we're shallow. Listen carefully, I'll tell you why. Because all they got's a bunch of grown Christians. They never have any babies. And so they look out here and say, boy, that First Baptist Church of Hammond, bunch of immature Christians. Yeah, if they'd get soul winning, they'd have some babies hanging around too. So we look shallow to them because we're getting people saved and we have people right here constantly, and they got 25 people over here in their so-called Deeper Life Church that have arrived over here, but nobody's on the way, and that's why their churches are dying, and that's why it looks like they're deep and we look shallow, because we're getting folks saved and using God's methods of giving them selfish enticements to serve God. Now, take the matter of serving God. God gives you every selfish reason why you ought to serve Him. You don't serve me and I'll punish you. He said about the Lord's Supper, take the Lord's Supper wrongly, sacrilegiously, and you may get sick. You may die. Man, every time I say that on a Sunday morning, you folks set up and take the Lord's Supper. I can walk up here and say, now we're going to take the Lord's Supper to the glory of God. Ah, la, 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 la. We're going to take the Lord's Supper so Jesus can get praise. Ah, la, la. We're going to take the Lord's Supper or you're going to die. And then you get that piece of bread and look at it. You know why? Because you're selfish. Now listen carefully. God uses the fear motive. And there's nothing wrong with the fear motive. These sanctimonious deadheads, you shouldn't preach hellfire and damnation. That's one of the motives God gives us. God said, hang them over hell. Let them know they're going to burn in hell if they don't get saved. And get right with God to stay out of hell. Nothing wrong with that. But if you stay there, there's something wrong with it. You ought not to serve God for a lifetime for fear of what He'll do to hurt you. There ought to be some time over here where you get the place to where you say, dear God, I serve You to praise You and give You honor and glory. But in between that time and this time, you're still supposed to serve God. When I first started preaching, I couldn't wait to preach. I just couldn't wait. Man, every time I'd preach, woo! Wow! Well, glory! But I will have preached my 54,000th sermon in about 1 week. And some of those sermons I haven't really wanted to do. I've looked out and seen people like you and said, I don't want to do it. Some of those sermons I don't want to preach. I'm tired. Or the Hoosiers on ESPN. But there are times, but you say, Brother Hines, then why do you do it? I do it to glorify my Savior. Now listen to me. Between... Let me say it again. Look at me. Look at me. I'm preaching to you. Laugh and cut up when you get home. I'm preaching to you. Listen to me now. There's absolutely nothing wrong with you tithing to get blessings from God. There's nothing wrong with you giving so you can receive. There's nothing wrong with you going soul winning so you can have joy. Come back with joy. Nothing wrong at all. But there is something wrong with staying there. It's time some of you folks got over there, or at least went on the way to over there. Let's take the power of God. When I was a young preacher, I wanted God's power. And I'll be quite frank with you, I wanted it like I wanted a toy. I want the power of God. Oh, God, give me the power of Moody Head. Oh, God, give me the power of Billy Sunday Head. And I wanted His power. But I wanted His power so I could have His power. Now over here, I want His power so I can help you. I want His power so I can get people saved. Now what does that mean? Does that mean you're supposed to wait till you get over here to beg for His power? No, I beg for it selfishly over here. Look, God knows we're babies. God knows we're immature. And God's okay. I'll give you a starter set. I'll give you a starter course. I'll let you start it honorably and rightly and properly by giving you rewards to make you enjoy what you do for me. But I want you to grow and do it less selfishly and less selfishly and less selfishly and less selfishly till someday whatsoever you do, you can do all to the glory of God. Please don't misunderstand me now. And please listen to me. I got something I want you to have so bad. I want to,
I want to cry to get it to you. Looking, see somebody looking around, disinterested. I want to say, I'm telling you something tonight can change your life. But believe me when I say this, you don't have to, but it's true anyway. I don't play. If I ever do play, if I ever do have any recreation, I do it because I think I need it. Because I believe recreation would clear my mind so I could serve him better. Please, please, I never have fun so I can have fun. If I ever take any time off at all, and it's very seldom, I do not, and this, I'd love to do some things. I'd love to play golf. But if I ever do play golf, it'll be because I feel like I need to relax my mind so I can serve God better. This may surprise you, but I eat to the glory of God. No joke. Scout's honor. Cross my heart. And hope Brother Colston dies. When I go to a restaurant, okay, Monday night, I was in Pontiac, Michigan, preaching for Dr. Tom Malone. I was in a Holiday Inn. I got there late, had about an hour and a half before the service, didn't have a chance to go to the restaurant, had to get something quickly, brought to my room. Picked up the menu, there it was. Filet mignon, chatterbrand, Chateaubriand for you educated people. There it was, all laid out there. And I said, now, God, what would be best for me? How could I preach better tonight? With a filet mignon? And God said, that's filet mignon, son. I said, oh. He said, no. That's too heavy for you tonight. But I like it. That's too heavy for you. I asked the little lady, I said, what do you have tonight that I could order in the way of a salad? And she said, I have a certain kind of a salad. And I said, bring me the salad. Now, I'll be quite frank with you. I don't like lettuce. I just don't like it. And to me, the most boring thing in the world is to sit there and eat celery and lettuce when there's a filet mignon right over there cooking right now. I sat in my room like a good little rabbit. Folks, if I get to heaven and they have carrots, I'm not going to stay. I hate carrots with a passion. But there are some spliced something, miced or something, carrots. I sat in my room. Now, wait a minute, hold it. She said, what kind of dressing do you want? I said, ma'am, you want to know what I want or what I'm going to have? I said, I want a quart of blue cheese. And I want a bunch of little hunks and that stuff, too. She said, okay, I said, no, ma'am, don't send it. She said, I thought you said you wanted it. I said, I want it to death. She said, you just going to eat that salad just plain? I said, yes, ma'am. You say, why? Because I'm an idiot. No, I knew. I know my body well enough to know what I should have eaten Monday night. So I ate to the glory of God. Now, you say, do you always do that? No, just about twice a year. But most of the time, I do that. You say, you mature. I'm not saying I'm mature anything. I'm telling you what I do. I'm telling you I don't play unless I can do it to the glory of God. I try not to eat unless I can do it to the glory of God. I had a Hershey bar at the glory of God just a while ago. But you say, no, I don't always do it, but I work at it. I want to do it. The Bible said, whatsoever you do, eat, drink, pray, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. But you say, Brother Hiles, I'm over here, and I'm just not there yet. Okay, then go ahead and do right anyway. Brother Hiles, I can't win souls to the glory of God. Then do it because it's fun. Brother Hiles, I can't tithe to the glory of God. Okay, then do it because God will bless you for it. He'll open the windows of heaven. Brother Howells, I can't love my wife just because she needs me. Okay, then love her because you need her. When she gets fat and waddles when she walks, it'd be easy to love her because she needs you. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we need to purify our motives, but until they're purified, we're still supposed to obey the commands of Almighty God. Now listen carefully, and I'm going to wind it up. Never judge another's motives. Never. Hear me carefully. I think she did that because. Yes, and you just said what you said about her because, too. You don't know why she did that. There was an article recently in a Christian magazine. It was about churches that baptize a lot of converts. Some guy wrote the article, and he was talking about our church and Dr. Bob Gray's, no doubt. I can't tell you he was talking about it, but that's what I found out, basically. And the churches that baptize a lot of people. And he said they do it just so they can be the top dogs. They do it so they can lead the world in baptisms. I wrote an article, put it in Dennis Carl's Revival Fires paper, sent a copy to Dr. Hudson. I don't know if it'll be in the sword or not, but I hope it will be. And I printed thousands of copies and passed them out during pastor school to send across the country. And I said, he doesn't know why we baptize all these people. There's no way he can read our minds. He's not psychic. He doesn't know. And there's no way. He may think that, but he can't judge our motives. Do you know when you judge somebody's motives, do you know how you judge? The only way you have to judge is why you would do what they did if you did it. I wrote a nice article. If you read it, it was written gentlemanly and courteously. Got a letter last week, or maybe it was Monday. Anyway, the last few days, from the fellow who wrote the article. And he said, you're right. And I apologize. He said, you're right. I don't know your motives. And I shouldn't have said, that's why you do it. And I'm going to contact the paper that was published in, apologize to them. I'm going to contact Dennis Carl, apologize to him. And I wrote him back, dictated a letter to him, and I signed it today. I think I did, didn't I? I said, your letter was what greatness is made out of. And I said, you're forgiven 70 times 7. And I ask you for any forgiveness that you feel I need to seek from you. Now, that man, I think, proved his bigness. He made a mistake and judged somebody's motives. Well, I'll tell you why she did that. She just wants to be... No, you don't know why she did that. And the only way you can ever judge why she did that is the reason that you would do it if you did what she did. Don't ever judge anybody's motives. Just praise God they're obeying. You know what? If I found out that Dr. Bob Gray baptized over 6,000 people last year and got over 6,000 people saved so he could be the top dog in America, I'd still be thrilled to death. He got over 6,000 people out of hell. If I found out that the best bus captain in this church was doing it for his own glory, I'd still thank God he did it. The only difference is the people that he got saved are just as saved as if he'd done it for the glory of God. The only difference is between doing it over here and doing it over here. Hear me carefully, I'm through. The only difference is you'll get rewards in heaven for what you do over here. And you get your rewards on earth for what you do over here. It's only difference. But you still get rewards. And what, if there's a poor fellow out, these guys, okay, is a poor fellow out here needs something to eat? He's cold, he needs a coat. You buy him a meal. And you do it so you can brag on it. Well, I was with this fellow yesterday, and he was hungry, and I bought him a meal. Isn't that good? Pat me on the back. Thank you. That's good. He still got fed. He's just as full as if I'd done it for the glory of God. So I'm still supposed to do it. The only difference is I get over here at the judgment seat and I say, Lord, that fella I fed. Where's my reward? He said, you got it back over there. Oh, backracky. I mean, amen. That's all. He said, you already got your reward. That's all. Now listen carefully. Don't miss it. And I'm through again. Even when you get over here, you're doing it selfishly. Because you love that scripture that says, great is your reward in heaven. So whether you do it over here to get your reward now, or do it over here to get your reward later, it's still the incentive motive. But somehow between there and here, we need to learn that the purpose of serving God, whether it's soul winning or tithing or whatever it is to the glory of God. But until it gets there, keep on doing it. No matter why you do it, the lost are still saved. The hungry are still fed. The lonely are still given fellowship. The sad are still made happy. The fallen are still lifted. Doesn't matter why you do it. Just keep on doing it. And let the sanctimonious so-called deeper lifers call us what they want to call us. They can spend their time studying why they would do it if they were doing anything. We'll spend our time doing it and do the best we can to purify our motives as we do it. Shall we stand?